Chuck Hatfield here in Jefferson City has represented a lot of different political related lawsuits. You were calling into question the constitutionality of changing Missouri's congressional districts. Tell me what you have learned.
Right. So when it comes to states redrawing their congressional districts, the federal constitution simply says that they have to be apportioned. And the U.S. Supreme Court has said that you have to have one person, one vote, meaning that you have to redraw your districts at census time to make sure that, you know, you don't get too large a number of people in any one congressional district, because that dilutes their vote. And so we know that you have to do that under the federal constitution, but how often and exactly how you do it is really up to state law. And so some states, I haven't looked at it in depth, but presumably Texas, I know New York, some states have language in their constitutions that allows them to redraw their congressional districts as often as they'd like to. There are other states that make it extremely clear that congressional redistricting may occur only every 10 years. And I think Missouri is in that latter category. Our constitution says that congressional redistricting shall be done when the census data is released. And it was done when the census data was released. And the way I read our constitution, and there's some case law that supports this, it cannot be done again until there's new census data, which would occur in 2030.
You put this argument out there on social media. I'm curious if you had anyone argue against what you were saying. If they did, what did they say?
Well, you know, our social media discussions, I don't think you could call, detailed legal analysis necessarily. But I did say on social media that I think the Missouri Constitution would prohibit, you know, what I'm going to call mid-cycle redistricting. The pushback was basically that some of the folks that want to do redistricting argued that the Constitution does not specifically prohibit redistricting within the 10 years, and that therefore they read the Constitution to allow it. Alicia, I call that Air Bud rules. If you ever saw the movie Air Bud, there's a big discussion about whether a dog can play basketball. And the referee eventually says, well, there's no rule that says a dog can't play basketball. That's not really how the law works. We don't usually run things on Air Bud rules.
What else did you find when you were looking for the case law?
Yeah, so redistricting is something that gets litigated regularly. I mean, there are court cases, and they tend to happen every 10 years. So in 2012, there was a case called Pearson versus Koster, a suit against then Attorney General Chris Koster. And it was about how to draw the congressional districts after the 2010 census. And the Supreme Court found that the congressional districts were drawn correctly. But in discussing that, they talk about how they read Article 3, Section 45. That's our constitutional provision that allows for redistricting. And they said, I'm looking at the decision right now, that that article is triggered when the census results reveal the population of the state of Missouri, which is what I was telling you earlier. This all starts off of census data. And when they get the census data, that shall happen. But then the Supreme Court said in that case, the new districts will take effect for the next election and will remain in place for the next decade or until a census shows that the districts should change. That's the way they read the Constitution in 2012. I think that was right. You get the census data, you draw new districts, and those are there for 10 years until you get new census data that shows they should change. And that makes sense, right? We've got to have some point in time when we're going to look at the population data and decide how to draw our districts. And our Constitution says we only do that every 10 years. You know, if we redistrict now in 25, we're going to be relying on, I guess, census data from 2020. And we know that people have moved. We know that those congressional districts are not going to be equal anymore because of the movements that occurred. But we don't have a 25 census to look at to figure out how to draw those districts. We have to wait until 2030 when we get the next census.
Well, that's interesting, an interesting summary on 2012 case law. Is that what you said, 2012?
Yep. Okay, yes. Because Pearson versus Castor.
Okay, yep. Because I was thinking, okay, but is there a real time range after the census data
right.
comes out that you have to get this done by? But it's explicitly saying that once you do it, that's it for 10
yep.
years. Hey, was there a lawsuit filed after the 2022 changes? I can't remember.
There on the congressional maps, I don't believe there was. Well, let me back up. I think there was one, but it wasn't a serious lawsuit. It didn't get very far.
I was going to say, I feel like I would have remembered this, but was there one on the Senate side? I feel like
there was definitely one on the Senate side. I did that one. It's called FATES, F-A-A-T-Z. We sued over Senate redistricting because they split Buchanan County in half. Didn't really have anything to do with the timing. It had to do with whether they had correctly followed the Constitution in drawing Senate districts.
Okay. Did the president talk about like what district would be the target, or what are you hearing in terms of what district would be the target to be a 7-1?
Well, I mean, I really only hear what I read in the media. But I mean, I just want to make sure everybody remembers you're going to have to redistrict the entire state. So there have been discussions. There was discussion in, you know, when they drew the current maps about how you might draw districts that would result in, you know, majority Republicans in 7 districts and majority Democrats in 1 district. And so I don't know that it's really a matter of targeting any particular district. It is a demographic fact, I guess, that right now Missouri has 2 districts that have what we call Democratic performance. In other words, when you look at the vote for president and the general vote for Democrats, the 1st congressional district, which is mainly St. Louis, and the 5th congressional district, which is mainly Kansas City, have high Democratic performance. All of the other congressional districts are more rural and have high Republican performance. If you were going to draw a 7-1 district, 7 Republicans, 1 Democrat, it's very hard to do that by splitting the St. Louis district, the 1st congressional district. I think everyone agrees that if you wanted to draw 7 Republican majority districts, you would have to change the configuration of the current 5th district, which is primarily Kansas City, Congressman Cleaver's district.
Which I believe
a long answer to your simple question.
Oh no, that's okay. Because I think his district now is just Kansas City, whereas before it has been Kansas City and rural communities. So he's won in both styles.
Yeah. So just to elaborate on it, what you have to do is you have to break up, or what the folks in this area call crack, the Democratic area. So you've got an area around Kansas City that tends to vote really Democrat. And what you have to do is kind of crack that up into a pie and spread those folks out so that they're lumped in with a whole bunch of Republicans. And it would be almost impossible to do that in St. Louis without running into some problems with racial, what they call racial gerrymandering. It's a little easier to do in Kansas City for the reasons that, or not for the reasons, but you mentioned historically they have combined other parts of Western Missouri with Kansas City, and you know, it would be a little easier to do over there.
Okay, so we were talking about 2022, the congressional districts, and potentially a lawsuit there back in the day that I can't remember. Okay, so if you're a Republican or a Democrat, would it be better to file a lawsuit now contesting the 2022 map? Logistically, especially if there's talk of this, of a special session, would you want to file a lawsuit and let that kind of go through the system before any sort of special session could happen?
Well,
what's the right path to take in order for this to not have like lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit?
Well, I mean, the best path to take to not have there be lawsuit after lawsuit is to leave the congressional maps as they are right now. If it is the case that the legislature can redistrict during the 10-year, in between census, then we may be doing this every 2 years. And as I said, there's been a lawsuit over redistricting almost every time it happens. So right now we tend to have one every 10 years. If we're going to start doing redistricting every 2 years, you're going to have constant lawsuits every 2 years. And it takes, almost a year to resolve a lawsuit usually. So, I mean, I think that issue raises one of the huge policy problems with doing lots of redistricting. You want Congress people to be familiar with their districts. You want the people that live in a district to be familiar with their congressperson and sort of know who represents them. A lot of people don't know who their current congressperson is. If you start redrawing the districts every 2 years, folks aren't going to know who their congressman is, and you're constantly going to have a different one. So it not only will there be a lot of litigation, but it's going to not be a very good policy in my view. Now, if you want to stop this process, I don't know that there's a way to do it through litigation. We have to wait and see what the General Assembly chooses to do. I mean, the governor might not call a special session, although it's kind of looking that way. The legislature might not adopt a map. These debates over what the maps look like are contentious. And I don't know whether there is a consensus in the General Assembly right now about exactly what the map should look like. You might have an agreement that should be 7-1 Republican, but which counties go in which of those seven districts can be a raucous debate.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about West Central and East Central Missouri. You have the Alford and Onder districts. Do those split Columbia? So if you put Columbia back together, that's going to be largely Democratic. I would think.
Yeah, I actually pulled up the map while you were talking, and when we were talking about Cleaver's district, I mean, right now Cleaver's district is basically Western Jackson County, and then it goes up into Clay County, which is sort of the western side of Clay County. That's a fairly Democratic area in there. The way Cleaver's district used to be drawn, it had part of Clay and then it went out, I think, into Lafayette County and Lexington and all of that. So, if you're going to try to break up the Democrats that are currently in the 5th district, you're going to have to put them into the 4th and the 6th congressional district. The 4th is currently Alford's district. And you got to, so they're going to gain some Democrat votes. And then right now, the northern half of Boone, everything north of I-70, is in Alford's district. And I don't know what it looks like when you start, sort of redrawing it. But, I think this has been a concern that some Republicans have voiced. When you try to draw a 7-1 district, you're almost by definition making one of the current 6 Republican districts less Republican. And I don't know which congressman is going to want to have that not as strong a district.
We have Chuck Hatfield, a Jefferson City attorney. We're talking about President Trump calling on Missouri to redraw its congressional districts to give Republicans another seat or maybe more in Congress. I'm Elisa Nelson. If you missed the first part of our interview, it's available in podcast form. So you can go to whatever podcast platform you use, type in Show Me Today, and then you should be able to listen to it there. I remember back in when they were working on this in 2022, especially, I'm blanking on his name, I can see his face, former Senate Appropriations Committee Chair. Anyway, so he talked a lot about keeping together the communities of interest.
Right.
And so
that's been a big theme.
Yeah. And when you're talking about, you know, the different ways of breaking up these current districts, does that mean the communities of interest go away? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And so related to that, you know, when it comes to politically how you think about drawing a statewide map, there are two concepts that have been discussed when folks want to draw maps that favor their party. There's what's called cracking, which we've talked about, where you split up, you know, the, in this case, the Democrat votes. And there's another concept known as packing. And packing means that you take all the like voters and you shove them into one district so that, you know, you don't divide them up into the other districts. So like right now, if you look at the first and the fifth district, they're a classic example of what we call packing. You basically packed all the Democrats in there. So those are, I don't know what the number would be, but those are 60% plus Democrat districts, which means that the other districts of your state are heavily Republican. And if you unpack those and crack them up, you're going to not only split up some communities of interest, but you're also going to make weaker, probably fourth and sixth congressional district Republican performance out there.
Going back to the 2022 process, and I think this is edification for a Show Me Today audience. Who's required to begin the work on drawing these maps? And would that have to happen? And, you know, if there's a special session called, would we still be required to use that same process?
Well, for congressional maps, it's a little different than it is for our state legislative. The state legislative, you know, when you're drawing a state senator, a state representative map, there's a whole process involved and there are all kinds of steps that have to occur to get us to a new map. When it comes to congressional district maps, the Constitution says that's completely up to the legislature. So it's actually fairly simple in terms of what, you know, what the preparatory work has to be. They're going to have some demographic information that lets them draw the districts in equal size and as compact as may be, and the various tests that the courts have used. But, you know, given the modern day data crunching tools that we have, you know, anybody can go online and draw a map. So there's really not a lot of preparatory work that has to be done. They'll have to decide what data they're going to use. I assume they're going to use the census data. And then they'll have to run some maps, which staff can do. And, you know, they'll put something on the floor and debate that. Pretty straightforward.
I must be thinking of the House and Senate then, where they had those
commissions. Much harder. We don't do that for congressional maps. Congressional maps is completely a function of the legislature. You know, if you go look, the congressional maps are in the statutes. I don't remember where, maybe in chapter one somewhere. But there's actually, you know, it says all of so-and-so county, and then it'll have census tract data or wards and precincts and all that in the statutes. So it's actually adopted in the law.
Okay. I'm going to propose that AI comes up with the new maps. Let's see what happens.
Well, I mean, I wasn't joking there. You know, it's amazing where we are now in terms of the data crunching that can go on. I mean, when I sued over those Senate maps, I learned a lot about this, and I wasn't joking. I mean, there are tools that you can go on and you can just put in there what you want. I assume there's an AI that will do this for you as well. And, you know, you can have a map drawn in 5 minutes.
All right, that's Jefferson City Attorney Chuck Hatfield doing some breaking down of this call by President Trump to have Missouri redraw its congressional districts to give Republicans another seat or maybe more in Congress. This is Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri.